In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua said, you have a decision to make. You have a choice to make. He said, you can choose to serve the God, little lowercase g God. You can choose to serve the idols that your fathers have been serving. Or you can choose to serve the God of heaven. But Joshua said, I've already made up my mind for my house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This morning you have those same choices. You can choose for your home to serve the Lord, or you can choose something else. And that something else doesn't even need to be defined as to which God it is, lowercase g God, because if the Lord has not built your house, it doesn't matter who's built it. Psalm 127. David says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who built it. As you look at your home, not your physical home, although you may think of that as your home. As you look at your home, who is it that built your home? Who is it who has laid the foundation of your home? Who is it who has built the walls of your home and put the roof on your home? Unless the Lord has built your house, not the one you left this morning, but the one that you brought with you. Unless the Lord has built your house, you are laboring in vain in whatever direction you're headed. This morning, I want us to end this lesson, not at the beginning. I want us to end this lesson this morning looking at what God has given us to build our homes. To realize that the Lord must be the builder of our homes, lest we be like that foolish man and they fall apart. But before we get to the end of the lesson this morning, I want us to look at the alternative. If the Lord does not build your house, what's going to happen to it? If the Lord is not the one who has priority in your home, what's going to happen to it? If the Lord is not the one whom you are following in your home, what's going to happen to it? Unless the Lord builds the house, you'll labor in vain all day trying to build it. As you look around America today, there are some extremely disheartening, discouraging, and frustrating things that are happening if you're a child of God. And there's part of me this morning that wants to overwhelm you with some information, and so I'm going to try to do that. There's part of me this morning that wants to depress you. Isn't that nice? There's part of me this morning that just wants to make you angry. Isn't that nice? You didn't think you were going to hear that this morning, did you? There's part of me this morning that believes that we need a wake-up call. I know America needs a wake-up call, but I don't have everybody's phone number. But I think there's some people here this morning, perhaps, who need a wake-up call. And I've got your number. I want us to look at what's happening in our nation and to realize that it's not just one or two bad things that are happening. It's not just one or two things that are going wrong. It's a whole host of things that people are building their homes around today that are going to lead not to just the destruction of their home, that are going to lead to the destruction perhaps even of our homes and for sure of our nation. I want you to think about what's happening in marriage today. One out of every two homes in our nation, as you know, ends in divorce. The average length of today's marriages, they only last. The very thing that people say, until death do us part, apparently comes on average after 7 years. As you look at statistics today, 90% of people are more likely to get divorced if both of the people who are getting married have already been divorced at least once. Children of those who are divorced are 40% more likely to get divorced. If you're a child of divorced parents, you've got a 40% more likely chance of getting divorced yourself. Statistics show us that 63% of children are growing up, only 63% are growing up in a home where they have their biological father and biological mother. That means 37% are not. Statistics show us that while the population in this nation is increasing, the number of marriages is decreasing. How does that work? If we've got more people in this nation now, why do we not have more people getting married? Well, because more people are choosing to shack up instead. There are more choosing to do away with God's plan for marriage and choosing to just live together to enjoy some of the pleasures of marriage without actually being married. As you look at some of these statistics, I want you to be startled. I want you to see that in this nation, there are approximately 14 million people. 14 million people. And I think it's higher than that, but that's the only statistic I could find. 14 million people living with someone that they're not married to. In this nation, 65% of couples who marry today will have lived together before they did. And 55% of Americans think that's okay. The majority of people you know, the majority of people who live in this nation think that it's all right to live together, to shack up without being married. 68.8% of high school senior boys think that it's a good thing to do, to get to know the other person, live with them before you're married. Not as many, but 64% of girls, high school senior girls, believe that. 41% of American women, ages 15 to 44, have cohabited, lived with someone, shacked up with somebody at some point in their life. 43% of Americans in their 20s believe that 43%, almost half of people in their 20s, believe that employers ought to be providing benefits for the person you're shacked up with. And so businesses are listening. More than 10,000 employers today, and again, I think that number's even higher than that. More than 10,000 employers today are providing benefits, health benefits, etc., for those significant others that you're shacked up with but not married to. And it goes beyond that. 95%, and I don't have this on the screen, 95% of those employers who are providing benefits to that person that you're living with, 95% of them provide them for a same-sex partner living in that homosexual home. That's the nation that we are living in. At least 49% of Americans believe that cohabitation, living together, 49%, half people say, well, this helps reduce the number of divorces. But statistics show us that people who live together before they're married are 50% more likely to get divorced. Somehow, those two statistics don't match. 12% of couples, only 12% of couples who live together before they're married end up staying married for more than 10 years. Unless the Lord builds the house, every other attempt by man is in vain. Every other attempt, well, this is a good idea, and God shows that it's a foolish idea. Our nation is on the brink of destruction because there are not enough homes being built by the Lord. You want to talk about what's happening inside those homes and the parenting inside those homes? 40%. 40% of all babies who are born today, 1.7 million every year, are born to women who are not married. 40% of children who are born to a single mother. 47% of people think that that's not a big deal and it doesn't make any difference if they have both parents living in the home. 50% of all American children at some point in their life before they're 18, at least half children will witness the divorce of their parents. And then half of those children will witness the divorce of their parents again. About 40% of children are expected at some point in their life to live in a home where the man and the woman living in the home are not married to each other. 40% of children today are being raised without their father. Should it surprise us that 70% of the people who are in prison come from broken homes? When are we going to learn that unless the Lord builds the house, unless we put the Lord at the forefront of our homes, we're just laboring in vain in every attempt that we make? Homosexuality. Homosexuality is, what do you say? Wrapping its tentacles around the hearts of our children. The homosexual agenda goes back at least three decades. It goes back further, but it really came into play three decades ago, where they set out not to convince and teach adults that homosexuality was okay. They knew that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. They knew that one. So they went to our children. And now a generation has been raised who believes, 41% of them, that gay marriage is okay. Public support for gay marriage over the last couple decades has grown by about 1% every year. So it's believed that sometime in this decade, it will top 50%. Sometime this decade, more than half of the people living in this nation are going to believe that gay marriage is okay. And yet, statistics still show that homosexuals only represent about 3 or 4% of our population. Why are we allowing such a small minority living in sin to dominate the discussion in this nation? You want to know how much they're dominating? I don't know how many of you saw this story as I was working on this lesson on Friday. Published on October 28th. Headline: Transgender Girl Scout Controversy Sheds Light on the Organization's Inclusive Policies. A 7-year-old Denver boy's desire to join the Girl Scouts was initially declined. The boy's mother told a reporter that initial request for her 7-year-old son to join the Girl Scouts was declined. The mother said, "What's the big deal?" In quotes, she said it. "What's the big deal?" Initially, the troop leader would not allow it. Good for her. Initially, the troop leader would not allow it because you would think that it's against policy for a boy to be in the Girl Scout. Are we talking the same language in this country? The troop leader was unaware of current policies within the organization. They released a statement, the Girl Scouts of Colorado did, that said, "We are an inclusive organization and that little Bobby will be allowed to join if he wants to. We accept," their statement, "we accept all girls." Are we speaking the same language? "We accept all girls in kindergarten through 12th grade as members. If a child identifies as a girl and the child's family presents her as a girl, Girl Scouts of Colorado welcomes her as a Girl Scout." Bobby will be welcome if he wants. Our requests for support of transgender kids, in their statement, they say, has grown. We are working to be better able to serve all girls' families and volunteers. This woman, who is the spokesman for the Girl Scouts of Colorado, said that the troop leaders, remember, the troop leader initially declined the request. The troop leader's confusion? The troop leader's confusion may have arisen when the mother kept referring to Bobby as a boy when trying to sign the child up. Are we talking the same language? You would think this is a joke. You would think that somebody is making this up. The organization has said they are trying to be concerned about all of the girls' well-being. One last statement. A psychiatrist. Again, I don't know how we're using words in our nation today, so I'm just telling you that's what he is. A psychiatrist said, on the face of it, it seems to be expecting far too much psychologically of young girls in the troop to ignore the anatomy of a boy and act as though he is a girl. Unless the Lord builds the house, we look like fools. When are we going to wake up and recognize that we cannot play games with our families and our homes? When are we going to wake up and realize that there is no happy merger, no happy compromise between God and the world? Unless the Lord builds our home, we might as well give it up. We will never, ever find success or please our God. You want to know how the average teen spends their time? This is on average. I don't know how many teens get 8 hours of sleep a night, but I found that startling. 8.1 hours of sleep. 7.5 hours in school and doing homework. Doesn't that stink? 7.6 hours every day on average. And this was actually age 8 to 18. So it's not just teenagers. 8 to 18, 7.6 hours every day watching TV, playing video games, and surfing the internet. You multiply that out. 7.6 hours every day. They are 53 hours, is that the number, something like that, 53 hours a week watching TV, playing video games, surfing the internet. That's more than most of you work. Some of you have a 40-hour-a-week job, right? Your kids are more on the TV and the internet and on games than you are at work. Does that tell you something? How does that time play out? It's interesting that there have been approximately 4,000 studies done to show the impact of TV on kids, and yet we still haven't got our heads on to know what that impact is. The average number of hours that kids watch TV, 1,600 hours in a year. Which one? Do they watch TV more or do they go to school more? Are they learning at school or learning from the TV more? Almost twice as much TV as school. What are our kids learning? Where are they learning it from? Oh, well, but they're in the home. And since they're in the home, they're actually learning it from the parents. Oh, really? If you multiply out how many minutes is it per week that kids watch television? If you multiply it out, the average kid in a week watches 1,800 minutes. Whew. 1,800 minutes of television in a week. You know how much time? This is research. These are statistics. This is the average home. 1,800 minutes of television. You know how much average time the average teenager spends in meaningful conversation with a parent in that same week? 1,800 minutes to TV, 3.5 minutes a week, 30 seconds a day in conversation with their parents. And we wonder what's going on in our nation. unless the Lord builds the house. They labor in vain who build it. I don't want to. I was going to say, do you want to talk about this? I don't want to talk about it, but we need to know what's happening. In the area of teenage sexuality, 70% of teens have had sex by the time they're 19 years old. 21 states allow access to contraceptive services without the parents knowing about it. But 80% of parents believe that contraceptive and protective practices should be taught in schools. 15 to 24-year-olds account for nearly half of the sexually transmitted illnesses every year. 19 million people are diagnosed with a sexually transmitted illness every year, and half of them are under 25. All 50 states allow access to these services without parental involvement. 750,000 teenagers become pregnant every year. That rate is the highest among the developed world. Somebody says, well, that just shows how advanced we are. It shows how sick we are. 1/3 of young women will become pregnant at least once before they're 20. What does that lead to? There are approximately 4 million live births, thank God, in this nation every year. Next to that, there are 1.2 million murders of unborn children every year. 22% of pregnancies are ended today in abortion. Since Roe v. Wade, approximately 50 million unborn children have been murdered. And in Florida, we're only behind California in New York in those statistics. I want you to hear this. 50% of the women who obtain abortions are under 25. Teenagers obtain 17% of all abortions. In 1 year, teenagers will abort more than 200,000 children. And most parents support the teenager's choice. 47% of women who have abortions have had at least one before. And medication abortions, the abortion pill, the morning after pill, RU486, whatever you want to call it, where you just take a pill and the pill does the work, 17% of abortions are accomplished through those means. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. One more set of statistics. 50% of teenagers, surveys show, that when the surveys are done, that 50% of teenagers in the last month have drank alcohol. In the last year, 71% of them have. By the time they end high school, 72% of young people will have had alcohol. 37% of 8th graders have consumed alcohol. 44% of 12th graders have tried cigarettes. 20% of them are currently regular smokers. Every day, 3,000 teens smoke their first cigarette. 1/3 of them become daily smokers. 20% of teenagers report using marijuana in the last month. 34% say they've done it in the last year. 46% say they have used it at some point during their high school years. More than 67% of 10th graders say they've got easy access to marijuana whenever they want. Or it may just be a prescription drug that they have a prescription for, that they're using in non-prescriptive ways, and at least 15% have used it in that regard. God says, unless the Lord builds the house, our labor is in vain. I said that I wanted to depress you and make you angry and frustrate you. That's kind of a weird sensation. to say in a worship service. But folks, I think we need a wake-up call to what's happening. I think we need to see what's happening around us and to recognize that the families in this church, there are nearly 300 family units that represent this congregation. That we're not somewhere in isolation. That we need to be helping each other make it to heaven. What are we going to do? All of these horrible things happening around us, what are we going to do? Who's going to solve this for us? Who's going to fix all these negative and horrible statistics? Who's going to fix this for us? Is our government going to fix it? Maybe we'll turn to our government. Maybe they'll get it right. Maybe they'll just clear it and everything will be fine if we just turn it over to them. Guess what? They have problems just defining things. They have problems with definitions. They can't tell you what the definition of marriage is. And yet we're going to trust them with our homes? They can't even spell marriage. They spell it G-A-Y. You're going to trust them with your home? Well, maybe we just need to listen to Dr. Phil more. You know, maybe we need to turn on the TV and listen to these psychologists. Guess what they're going to tell you? If you're not happy in your marriage, that's all right. Get rid of that. When you go find somebody you can be happy with, they're not going to help us. What are we going to do? Where are we going to turn to be able to bring us back to where our homes are not being built in vain? Well, maybe we can turn to our friends. You know, do you have those kind of friends that when you want a certain answer, that they're the friends you go to because you know what they'll tell you? I've got those kind of friends. If I want to hear that a sermon was a good sermon, I'll go ask a particular person because I know they won't tell me that it was bad. If I want them to say what I want to hear, that it was a good sermon, I'll go ask them because they're known to say that. Do you have friends that you know what they'll say when you go ask them? I'm having a horrible time in my marriage. What do you think I should do? I think you should get rid of him. Oh, that's what I thought. Okay, that sounds good to me. Where are we going to turn? Where are we going to go? Unless the Lord builds it, there's no hope for it. We don't have time to develop these points this morning, but I just want you to think about them, write them down, take them with you. In our lectureship that comes up on Thursday, each of the speakers is going to be presenting 7 points in their lessons. I want to give you 7 parts of this home, and we're just going to go right through it. You're going to have to write these down. But I want you to see that God has given us a blueprint, that God has given us the foundation, that God has given us the walls, that God has given us the roof, God has given us the sealant. You ever use sealant on your home to keep the air out and keep the air in? That God has given us the neighborhood to live in. God's given us the occupants. You know what the blueprint is for your home? There isn't another one. This is it. There's only one blueprint that God has given us for our homes, and you've got it right here. You don't need to go find another marriage manual. This one will suffice. You don't need to go find another parent manual. This one will tell you what you need to know. God has given us a blueprint for our homes. The problem is we're not looking at the blueprint. The problem is that we have too many homes today that are being built without looking at a blueprint. How good would a home be if they didn't look at the blueprint? Do you know how many blueprints there were for this church building when it was being built? We go looking for the blueprints today, and we got to go through about 50 pages to find the one that we're looking for. You got a different thing for everything. Different sheet for every part of this building. What if they had tried building this building for us, but they didn't follow the blueprints? Would you feel comfortable sitting where you're sitting right now? Would you be a little uneasy about the roof that's over your head right now? God's given us the blueprint. He's given us the foundation. It's talking about the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, but it says there that there's no other foundation besides Jesus Christ. There's no other foundation for your marriage other than Jesus Christ. There's no other foundation for your attempts to be a godly parent other than Jesus Christ. Go read Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 21 and 22. Read through Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And I want you to underline every time you find the little word as, A-S. Submit yourselves as unto the Lord. Submit yourselves as unto Christ. Love your wives even as Christ loves the church. Jesus Christ is the foundation for our marriages. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of Shaquille O'Neal. How's that working for us? Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of, you fill in the blank as to who we're raising our children after today. The nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We've got the blueprint. We've got the foundation. Do you know that God has given you walls for your home? What do walls do? Walls enclose your home. They keep what they're supposed to do. They keep what's in. They keep what's out. Guess what kind of walls God has given us? You know that walls surround you when you're inside. We are surrounded by walls right now. We're surrounded by these walls. You notice that most good walls, they point up. Most good walls point up. God has given us walls for our home. Go back and read Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verses 6 and 7. The psalmist says, we pray unto the Lord. And you know what the Lord does when we pray unto Him? He surrounds us. Just like David said in Psalm 139, where God puts a hedge in front of us and behind us. When we pray to God, Psalm 32 says, He surrounds us. When was the last time as a family? When was the last time as a family you prayed what Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 13? When was the last time as a family you said, Lord, deliver us from the evil one? You want to build walls around your home? Pray those words. When was the last time you prayed in your home, deliver us not into temptation? You know what's wrong with some of our homes? We haven't put these walls up, and so these temptations keep coming in. If we saturate our lives with prayer, dedicating ourselves to God and praying, God, surround us. God, don't deliver us into temptation. God, don't deliver us unto the evil one. We'll be surrounded by God. Then you put a roof on a home. Not one of those flat roofs. You got to put one of those peaked roofs, because that peaked roof is pointing towards heaven. In your home, what's your greatest desire? In your home, what's your number one priority? Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, set your mind on things above. Set your eyes on Christ and upon heaven. That's where we need to be headed. Our roof needs to be pointed towards heaven, because our family needs to be pointed towards heaven. No other goal. Good grades, those are nice. College education, that's helpful. A good job to support your parents when they need your money, that's even better. Amen. But that home, unless the Lord builds it, unless the Lord puts the roof on it and says, this is where you need to go, anything else you do in that home is in vain. God puts the seal on the home. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14, he uses the word bond for seal. He said, there's a bond that you put around your home, and that bond is agape love. Does love live in your home? Does agape love live in your home? Is it the bond that holds you together? Is it the seal that you put in those cracks? You got cracks in your home. I'm not talking about the home you left this morning. I'm talking about the home you brought with you. Do you have cracks in your home? Do you have cracks in your relationships? Do you have cracks in your communication skills? Do you have cracks in the ability you have to speak to one another in your home? Use God's seal. Use the bond He's given us of agape love. Unselfish, unconditional love that says, I'm going to love you no matter what. That'll solve more problems in your home than you can count. God has built our homes and He's put them in a neighborhood. As I said, all of these homes that exist in this place, God put your home in the church. You might live, the home you left this morning might be in a bad neighborhood. The home that you brought here with you, there's no other neighborhood like the one you've got. God has put Christians inside the church. And moms and dads and husbands and wives, aren't you glad that you're not the only mom or dad or husband or wife having a hard time? That you've got brothers and sisters in Christ, that you've got the church in your neighborhood, surrounding you and holding you and helping you. But you know, a home is not complete, and a home's not going to do you any good unless there's somebody living in it. And God has given the occupants of the home, and that's you. I want you to think about Romans chapter 12 in relationship to you. Romans 12 and verse 18 says, "As much as it depends on your lousy husband, be at peace with all men except your lousy husband." Does your Bible say that? Man, that'd be a long verse if it said all those words, wouldn't it? "As much as it depends on your lazy wife, be at peace. As much as it depends on your rebellious children, as much as it depends on your mean parents, be at peace." What does your Bible say? Well, I don't think it says any of those things. Romans 12 and verse 18. Bring this verse into your home. "As much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men," parentheses, including people in your home, "as much as it depends on you." In the church, Ephesians 4 and verse 16 says that when every part is doing its share in the church, when every part is doing its share, it causes the growth and the good of the church. What about in the home? Are you doing your share in the home? If you are, it will cause the growth, the development, and the betterment of your home. Brethren, unless the Lord builds the house, we're just playing games. You ever play house growing up? Growing up, you ever play house where you go and find who's going to be your husband or who's going to be your wife and who's going to play the kids today? "Well, I don't want to play the kids." "All right, well, I'll play the kid next time." Who's going to play the dog? Who's going to do this? And we play house. Well, when you get older, you got to stop playing at some point, and you got to get real. And you got to let God be the builder and the sustainer of your home. I don't know about you, but as I have been working on this lesson, I have been resolved even more to make sure that God is the one who has preeminence in my home. And I hope that when you leave here today, you're going to be less concerned about the things of this world and more concerned about getting you and everybody in your house to heaven. You know, unless the Lord saves those people who are lost, there's nobody who's going to be saved. Just like you need to let the Lord build your house, you need to let the Lord tell you how to be saved, you need to let the Lord save you. Are you a Christian today? Are you a child of God? Bill's been a child of God for 69 years. Are you a child of God? You can become one this morning if you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God. If you'll repent, turn away from the sin that's in your life, confess the faith that's in your heart, and do just like they did in Bible times, be baptized into Christ for the remission of every one of your sins. When you do that, God's going to add you to His church. He's going to wash away every sin. He's going to write your name in the book of life. And then He tells you to be faithful unto death, and He'll give you eternal life. If we can help you in any way this morning, will you come? As together we stand and sing.